Thank you, choir, and thank you, Ruth, for that beautiful anthem. This is going to be brief, but significant. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and hearts of those who hear, that this might be a time when we say more deeply, more wonderfully, more truly, yes, to your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My meditation is entitled A Peace for Our Time, and that is not to be confused with a certain British Prime Minister who declared that we have peace in our time. Part of the truth of this world is that there is such a lack of peace, such a lack of certainty, such a lack of security, and it seems more so every day. And this is the world that you folks are growing into. I'm sorry we left it to you. I'm sure you're going to do a better job with it. But there was a book published just a month ago called All Grown Up, and note the spelling of grown. Searching for Self, Faith, and a Freaking Job by Paul and Joni. It's a story about the millennials and the challenge that is facing this growing generation. He specifies five major challenges that they have. I'm just going to go through them very quickly. First one is that the millennials are the largest generation, and these are American statistics, but they pretty much hold true for Canada as well. There are over 85 to 90 million millennials in the U.S. They're the largest of the cohorts, and they are the most educated generation in history. But it creates a problem, because a university degree isn't worth much anymore. It's not a key to a good paying job anymore. And more millennials than any other generation are back living with their parents, working part-time, trying to find their way. 40% of them are unemployed deep into their 20s. The average student debt they carry is $33,000. And that's with an income which isn't nearly that. They have a burden. And that burden creates the highest levels of anxiety, stress, and depression. And Paul Angioni has named this OCD, Obsessive Comparison Disorder. Partly because of their exposure to Facebook and other social media, they're always seeing themselves in the light of what their friends are doing, or at least the images generated on social media. It's a very competitive world. They are labeled as the generation of entitlement, but in fact, they are the generation of anxiety. And in facing that anxiety, they are doing so without some of the great supports that other generations have known, especially the social institutional supports of family, of organizations of belonging, especially, of course, the church. They find a community on the internet. But that community is virtual and not actual, and so often is in fact a source of loneliness. I have it here. The fact is suicide rates among young adults have tripled since the 1950s. And the internet, well, an unparalleled opportunity for communication and information. It is a glorious tool, also proposes unparalleled opportunities to be lost, to find yourself in some little virtual hole and never know what it is to be part of a larger life. It's a challenge. Now, the proposal that Paul Angioni supplies is that you have to find your own special sauce, meaning your own uniqueness, which is a gift, and he gives about 10 different ways to do that, a little recipe. But the challenge, of course, in that is, he says, it's all up to you. The joy that we have declared today is that it is not. You are uniquely gifted. Each one of us is a precious child of God, but we have, as we grow into our gifts, as we grow into our world, we have an unparalleled and unconditional and unquenchable support who is always with us and for us. It's not up to you alone. You have help. I love Peter's response to, or Jesus' response to Philip. He says, just show us the Father. They're terrified. Jesus is about to leave them. They don't know entirely what's going to happen, but they know somehow that it's not going to be good. And they say, we need assurance. Just show us the Father. And Jesus responds, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? But what does that mean? It means that the person who's been with you every step of the way, who's been by your side, who slept out in the cold with you, who has eaten with you and found food and water with you and spent sleepless nights with you, who has partied with you and enjoyed, that's the love of God. It's a very simple little thing. It's not in some kind of astrophysical experience. It is in the gift of intimate relationship that you know who God is. That intimacy that is with you always. And as we share friendship and relationship with one another, we participate in the presence of God with us and for us and grow in that gift. Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? I'm the guy who slept next to you on that rock. That's the Father. When you face those challenges of being a millennial or being a boomer or being a senior in this world, I am by you. You are precious to me. It's a beautiful thing to know. This woman is named Mabel Jones. She's a remarkable story. She's a radiologist, but she was the daughter of sharecroppers, grew up in abject poverty and raised herself through her faith, knowing the support and value that was invested in her. She became a very successful and influential person. And then a few years ago, her wonderful son, his name was Prince Jones, not to be confused with the other prince, was shot by a police officer one night. He was unarmed. He was never one to get in trouble. It was a case of mistaken identity. Before many of the celebrated cases of Black Lives That Matter, Prince Jones was killed one night, and it produced an outrage. One of the victims of that outrage is this man, Ta-Nehisi Coates. He is quite a brilliant young man, and last year he wrote a brilliant book. The book takes the form of an extended letter to his adolescent son, in which he tells his young black son, "Trust no one. There is no one out there to help you." The book, which won a National Book Award, is an indictment on the entire American society. There's also an indictment on God and on the church. Now, he's been criticized by many in his own community for such a negative view of the world. That's book's title is Between Me and the World. And between me and the world, there is almost only enmity and animosity. He says to his son, "You're going to make it, but you're going to make it on your own." But then toward the end of the book, he writes this. He writes it about the church. "I thought of my own distance from an institution that has so often been the only support of our people. I often wonder if in that distance I've missed something, some notions of cosmic hope, some wisdom beyond my mean physical perception of the world." And he closes this way, "I wondered that because something beyond anything I have ever understood drove Mabel Jones to an exceptional life." You see, Prince Jones was his best friend. And when he was shot, he began to live in a rage which has not ended for him. But he looked to his friend's mother, who had every right to sink into that same age, and what he saw in her was forgiveness and hope and peace and a life that continued to change the world for the better. What he saw in her was someone who knew the peace for our time. The love of God, which is always with you. I close with a reminder of this book by Maya Angelou. "I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings." She wrote it of her own upbringing from the age of 3 to being a mother at the age of 16. That book is also the story of her coming from a person with an inferiority complex growing up in the racism of the South, to a person who was dignified and had all the confidence of the world to face the racism and prejudice of her time. And she learned it from her mama, her grandmother, with whom she went to live at the age of 3. The caged bird that she saw sing. She remembers this story. Her grandmother was on the porch outside the grocery store, which they had a poor grocery store. And walking along the street, there was a group of 13-year-old white girls. And boy, they can be nasty sometimes. And this group was nasty. They saw that woman on the porch and they began to fling the most vile, racist invective at her. One of them even mooned her. They just did everything they could to demean that woman, and Maya Angelou, at the age of 8, was watching this and wondering why her grandmother did not get angry. This was so cruel. And she went toward her and then heard her singing to herself, "Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more." Her grandmother wasn't suffering abuse. She was shining as a person of dignity and worth in the face of it. And there Maya learned her courage the courage of one who knew the peace of the Holy Spirit, who is with her always, a peace for this and all times. Let us pray. Lord, your peace you have left with us. Help us to say yes to it, that we may know dignity, that we may know our value, and that we might change our world. In Jesus' name, amen.